May that Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Heavenly Father in His throne on high and from that ascended Lord Jesus in the seat of honor at the right hand of the throne on high be with us as we ponder the Word of God written in Hebrews chapter 4 verses 14 to 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So far the word. My beloved in Christ, the ascension of our Lord is a major occasion for rejoicing. It's not just the event which marks the end of His visible life on earth as a man, but rather we could see that the trailblazing which Jesus started on Easter, toward which He pointed with His promise, "Because I live, ye shall live also," was finished on the ascension, an event toward which He pointed with the promise, "Where I am, there shall also my servants be." The victory of the resurrection was brought to its fullest triumphal expression when Jesus, according to His human nature, took His right hand, His place at the right hand of God, on the heavenly throne in the place of honor. The readiness of heaven to receive us is thus assured. For that Jesus who ascended said, "I go to prepare a place for you." The gift of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is assured. For that Jesus who ascended had said before He went that it was expedient for Him to go so that He could send the Comforter. By the power of the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament, we live in faith. And by His power we serve, not only in carrying out the great commission for which the Holy Spirit gives us utterance and puts the right words in our mouths to speak on the appropriate occasion, but also because He gives us guidance, counsel, and courage for each step of the way in Christian living. And the ascension assures us that Jesus will come again as He was seen to go into heaven. That the days of this evil world are numbered. A final end will be put to all evil, and the bodies which rest in the grave will be brought forth to be rejoined with the souls of believers in eternal life. Not the least of the causes for rejoicing over the ascension, however, is brought to our attention by the words which we have read from Hebrews chapter 4, words which assure us that Jesus is still our high priest, available, approachable, helpful. As our priest, during His life on earth to perform the great work of redemption, Jesus performed His active obedience once for all. He did all those things which the holy will of God made incumbent upon man, the crowning work of God's visible creation. All those things which, since the fall of man into sin, have become not merely impossible for man to do, but even impossible for man to desire to do. During His visible earthly life on earth, Jesus performed His passive obedience once for all. He allowed to be done to Him all those things which ought to have been done to us and to all men who are all sinners, injustice, things which man could not endure and live, things which required finally the existence of eternal death in hell. All those things Jesus did for us, and did them completely, successfully, so that they are finished for us, and we need have no concern in recapitulating them as though we had to add to the contribution which Jesus has already made for our salvation, a contribution which is complete and ready for us and delivered to us through the means of grace by his Holy Spirit as a gift into our bosom. But the marvelous thing is that Jesus, who was so great a high priest during his life here on earth, did not stop being our priest with his ascension. The words in Hebrews chapter 4 label Jesus as our ascended high priest, saying, "We have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens." And the scriptures tell us how Jesus is our high priest. "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Even though Jesus in John 16 stated that it's not necessary for him to pray to the Father for us who are his by faith, since the Father himself loves us, yet we have the added assurance of unassailable communion with God in the fact that Jesus is our advocate and mediator, that he does pray for us. In Jesus' continuing priesthood, we have the strongest encouragement for our faith. The holy writer in the letter to the Hebrews said, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession." Because Jesus continues to be our high priest, we know that his gospel is not ancient and outdated truth, but timely reality for us, timely reality for all time, and timely reality for eternity. We know that faith in him will never be the source of disappointment or shame. It'll never prove to be vain. Rather, we are assured that by faith in him, we lay hold on an eternal life which is our possession now and in which we will participate at the time of our Lord's choosing. And in Jesus' continuing priesthood for us, we have the strongest of encouragements to make our requests known to him in prayer. Again, in the words of Hebrews chapter 4, we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. Jesus has been through life as a man. Therefore, he can hear our prayers, both with the omniscience of God and with the knowing experience of a man. He knows the temptations of a child, a youth, an adult. He knows the temptations which come from other men, which come from devils. Either by experience or by observation, he knows the trials that arise from labor or from leisure, from health or from sickness, from companionship or from loneliness, from being given a bosom companion or from losing one. He was a child in a home, a youth in a community, a man in an evil world. He had love and lost it, for example, in the death of Joseph. He had hate, and we could not recount the manifold occasions upon which hates were shown against our Lord, and he finally became the victim of it. He had love. He had hate. He had the temptation of being honored and the disillusionment of being betrayed. With that kind of a personal history, our Lord is one to whom we can come with our requests, knowing that when we make our requests to him, they will not seem foolish or strange or unreasonable or inexcusable. Whatever is a concern to us in our sanctified natures, whatever we learn to be concerned about through his teaching is a concern to him. Therefore, take his invitation. Be careful for nothing, but with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. come boldly unto the throne of grace. Obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Let the ascension of our Lord make you strong in faith, constant in prayer, for he is still our high priest, available to us, approachable by us, helpful to us. Amen.